As you can see, our topic is John 3:16. So many of the world today see John 3:16 and in the world, and a lot of people know it, know what John 3:16 is. You can go to a lot of denominations, a lot of churches of Christ, Baptist, churches of God, Catholic churches, and what does John 3:16 say? 90% of them can quote it. It's our children here know it. But how does the world actually perceive John 3:16? They look at it as, well, all we have to do is believe and we can go to heaven. Of course, I think we can all see differently than that if you truly understand what the word believe means. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The word believe there again. Why is this, do you think this is the most popular verse, quote unquote, popular verse in the Bible? Because it gives so many in the world, it gives them an easy belief. An easy thing to go for. It gives them the hope so many that if they just believe in Him and accept Him as a Savior, regardless of what they do or what they are willing to do, they will still be saved. It doesn't matter. We'll still be saved. That's all we have to do is believe it. Notice carefully this passage. I tried something new on here and it's not working too good. As you can see, I wrote my notes down in the little note thing beside the PowerPoint. I thought it was going to spread it out further, but I don't guess it did. So just bear with me as we go through. But we see that we notice carefully what the passage does say. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. Never said believing this, the only begotten Son, will save anyone. Just believing is not what saves. Look at James 2:19. James 2:19. Thou that believest there is one God, but thou dost well. The devil also believes and trembles. So we see in James 2:19, the devil believes. Does that mean he's going to be in heaven when we get there? Something to think about. Also, look at some other important passages from 3:16. Notice it doesn't say John 3:16, but 3:16. They kind of go along with this. Look at Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straight away from the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon Him. Jesus being baptized for an example to us, for an example to us all, isn't important to us, not to Him, because He had no sins. Also, it shows us that the Spirit of God is with Jesus at all times, while here upon the earth, with the exception of His death on the cross. Also, notice Matthew 27:46. We'll turn to Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and rocks went, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Also, Matthew 8:7-9. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Also look at Luke 3:16. I want to look at Luke 3:16. Here we see John recognized that he was not the Savior. John recognized he was not the Savior. It says, John answered, saying to them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh he that is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to loosen. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. He realized that he was not the one that was supposed to be saving every one of the sins. He realized that Jesus Christ was the Savior, not him. He realized that he is the Son of God. His powers go way beyond anyone else's. He will have power to save and condemn. Our Lord and Savior, thus he has the power to save and condemn. Look at Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, of them which fell, severity but toward thee. Goodness, if thou continue in goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Here we have also look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Here we have a very, very important concept of Christianity. We notice that the Spirit of God dwells inside us, which makes us His temple. Makes us His special people. God dwells in us. We need not to defile our bodies, but let our bodies be a temple of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, if we read further into that, 17 through 21, and we see what the rest of it, what he's saying, 17 through 21. It says, if any man defile not the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is not written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. We'll look at Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16. It says, now to Abraham were the promises spoken to his seed. He saith not to seed as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Contrary to the belief of many Christians, only the seed of Christ will ever make it to heaven. Many religions rule out Christ as the Son of God, but only as another teacher or another prophet. Look at John 1:14. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Also John 3:18. Look at John 3:18. says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Also John 4:9. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Also, I want to look at Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. It says God in Christ help us to be strengthened through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit which gives us the Word of God. Give us that word so that we may study it and we may grow by it. And we can apply it to our lives as we see fit. So then you need to make it where it's our inward man. Make it where it becomes a part of us. Look at Ephesians 3:17-20. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I also want to look at Philippians 3:16. Philippians 3:16. It says, only whereunto we have attained that same rule, let us walk. An extremely important part of the Christian life is to understand the commandments of God and to let His Word dwell in us, fully, not partly, fully. Our fruit is to be seen doing what we believe. Look at Matthew 7:17-18. Matthew 7:17-18. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Also, John 11:9-10. John 11:9-10. Jesus answered, and there are not 12 hours in a day. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no night, no light in him. Also want to look at Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody or grace in your hearts unto God. See, faithful Christians are committed to do the will of God. They allow the word of Christ to dwell in them. They believe it. Therefore, they allow the word of Christ to dwell in them. They practice it and show it. Others show others their value and try and convince them it is the right way to get to heaven. Others can see it in their lives. Others can see it in their lives. Dedication to the kingdom of Christ. They want to be saved, and they want others to be saved as well. They admonish each other with singing, and they are very happy doing both to praise God and enjoy the salvation that it brings. Notice how the early church felt about their newfound salvation. Look at Acts 2:44-47. Acts 2:44-47. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men. As every man had need, they continued daily with one accord to the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. I want to look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Christianity is a mystery. It's a mystery that could not have been found out by any reason. Cannot be found out by any light of nature, and which cannot be comprehended by any reason, because it is above reason. It's above any thought. It's above anything you can imagine. It is a mystery. It is not a philosophy. It is not a speculation, but of God, designed to promote godliness. And herein it exceeds all the mysteries the Gentiles ever had. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, every scripture is inspired of God. It's also possible for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction, which is in righteousness. Every scripture written is inspired of God. God said it is not to writers. Too many people today do not accept the Word of God as actual law for us to obey. I also want to look at 2 Peter 3:16. 2 Peter 3:16. As also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, wherein are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. In other words, we see a lot of people in this world today twisting their own scriptures of how they see fit and make them fit their life. Their lifestyle, kind of like we were talking about in Bible class this morning. How they take everything and make it where it'll fit how they want to live. What makes it easy for them? And we see that a lot in this world. We see it a lot in the church. We don't need to let that be a part of our lives. We need to make sure that we're rightly dividing God's Word and doing as He tells us to do, not how we see that it should be. Look at 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. It says, hereby I know we love because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for Him. We understand the love of God requires from us for each other, because He set the pattern by Him loving us enough to give His life for us. Anytime we are deciding whether we should show love and actually love our fellow man, we need to think about how much love we had for us and what He had actually did for us at Calvary. Even then, that is not enough, because He had to leave heaven and come down to this miserable earth. He left His place of glory, His throne of glory in heaven with God, just to come here with us. If we are ever fortunate enough to get to heaven, how hard would it be for us to give up our life in heaven and come back to this earth? You think any of us could do it? That's love. That's the love that our Lord and Savior had for us. Look at Revelation 3:16. Church at Laodicea. So because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Here we see the church at Laodicea was not dedicated to God like they should have been. They represented many Christians today. They represented, but they love God. They love God, but some certainly not enough. Didn't love God enough. God spewed out to them what would happen if they didn't turn from their wicked path. They didn't change their attitude. Look at Revelation chapter 3:16. Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also came and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches. Also want to look at 2 Corinthians 3:16. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in all ways. That the Lord be with you all. The Lord desires is to help us make our calling and our election sure. He will do all he can to make that happen. As he says, the Lord is with us, but he doesn't do it for us. We still have a part to do. We can't just simply believe. We have to accept the whole gospel. That part is up to us. What are you going to accept? One thing I notice also here is the word peace. There's a peace that passes all understanding. So how do you get this peace? How do you get the peace that passes all understanding? First, you have to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, John 8:32. Also, you have to believe the gospel. Hebrews 11:6, John 20:31. Also, you have to repent of your past sins. Luke 13:3, Acts 17:30. Also have to confess in Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth. Romans 10:10. Matthew 10:32. Be baptized. Galatians 3:27. Mark 16:16. Acts 2:38. One of the, to me, it's the most difficult of all of being a Christian and is being faithful unto death. It's one thing I've instilled in my children as they've come up is be faithful unto death. It's the hardest thing you'll ever encounter. A lot of temptation in this world, a lot of ugliness in this world, a lot of false doctrine in this world, a lot of people that just like to pick and choose from Scripture. Just as they do as John 3:16. Just read the one simple verse and leave everything else out. Leave out the part of believe. leave out the part of that you actually believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and so you're going to do every following and every teaching of His Word. We just seen there's a lot more important verses of 3:16 that we need to remember, that we could remember. Are we going to remember those, just the one simple one because it fits our life and makes it easy for us to get to heaven? We're going to remember everything that God teaches. Put everything in practice in our life, and not just what we choose to, but what God chooses for. So if there be any here that desire the Word of God, and desire to have that peace that passes all understanding, I've showed before you the steps of becoming a Christian to get that peace. Maybe there's some here that have become a Christian and realize that they're still not at peace because they still have sin in their life. And they need help overcoming that sin. That's what the brothers in Christ are for, and sisters as well, to help you overcome those sins and help you along your way in this world with God only by your side. So if you need the prayers of the brethren, or if you need to become a Christian, if you would come as we stand and sing.